Hello and welcome to this edition of Happenings at 2715. My name's Kurt Gibson, and with me today on sort of a special Happenings broadcast, I'm joined today at Carlisle Lake on the 10th anniversary of the IHSA Bass Fishing Tournament with Doug Wasmuth. Doug is with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Al Crocker, local fishing expert here in Carlisle, who also does a broadcast of his own called Fishing in the Outdoors, and Scott Stewart. Scott's aware of many hats. He serves as the athletic director at Salem High School. He's the bass fishing coach, and like Al and Doug, Scott's been a part of the festivities here at Carlisle Lake for the first decade of our bass fishing finals. So it's especially fitting that on this 10th anniversary of the bass fishing finals, we take some time to reflect back on the first decade and what it's taught us, and maybe we'll even hit on where we think things are going. So, guys, thanks for joining me today on Happenings.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Al, I'm going to start with you. You were one of the guys, I mean, there have been a lot of people that are very instrumental in bringing the IHSA bass fishing program to Carlisle, but why don't you talk real quickly for our audience about, you know, your recollection of how the city came together and some of the benefits you've seen as a Carlislean, if that's even the right word to use, but what it's meant to the community.
Well, it has meant a tremendous amount to a lot to the community financially, but in terms of notoriety, tourism, making people aware of where Carlisle Lake is. I was involved with filling out the application that went to the IHSA when we applied to have the tournament here, never dreaming that it would actually happen. And we have seen just an unbelievable response from not only the schools all over the state. I can remember when we started, you know, there was a huge issue with well liability and insurance, and could we do this, and would you have enough kids? And I went out and talked to several schools myself and said, you know, we have to do it. It's something that we really, truly have to do for these kids. And yeah. So proud of the way it's turned out. Here we are 10 years later. The people of Carlisle, I mean, I can't say enough about all of the help that we get. I mean, anyone that we ask to help with this thing steps up and works.
I was going to say that, you know, we are very fond at IHSA of saying that, you know, we can't put on these events without community support. And you just look around down at Dam West, the launch area, so many people from the community show up, park district, community members, not only at the beginning of the day, but at the end of the day. And over the course of the decade, it seems like probably everybody in town has been involved in some form or fashion.
The city of Carlisle, I think when we put in the application and then got awarded the tournament those first few years, the city of Carlisle had no idea what was coming. Actually, none of us did. I mean, we didn't know what to expect. And I can't remember how many schools we had that first year. We'd have to go back and look, but yeah. I'm guessing 100 and some. But look what's happened over 10 years. And with the sectionals and the amount of schools involved, for kids that I really want to add this, for kids that don't necessarily play another sport, this is an activity that is just absolutely amazing. For kids that don't do baseball and football and basketball, they've got an activity now, an IHSA activity that they can partake in. And fishing will take them to their 70s and 80s. If they stay healthy, they can fish the rest of their life.
It sure is. It's a lifelong activity. And you're right. It that's one thing we've noticed, too, in our conversations with our schools. It has touched a student who otherwise hasn't been involved. So that's been truly a really big benefit of the program. Doug, we're here at Carlisle Lake, as we mentioned. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about Carlisle Lake? It's, I believe, the largest man-made lake in Illinois?
Yeah, it is. It's 26,000 acres, surface acres.
It's been around for how long?
50 years. Last year was the 50th year anniversary. So, yeah, and it is a great opportunity for us, you know, to showcase our lake. To showcase the facilities we have at Dam West. You know, it's set up really well. You know, everything flows well down there. And, you know, we've all been involved in this since the beginning. I can remember sitting in the meetings beforehand, all of us, and you know, discussing, can we do it? And we said yes, and I think that we've proven over the last 10 years that it's been a wonderful event.
How about some of the changes in the lake? What are some things that between the Corps and DNR and just anybody that's been involved with the lake, what have been some changes or improvements that have been able to occur because of this relationship with the bass fishing world and IHSA?
Well, I think probably the most important thing is, you know, we always have had a good working relationship with IDNR, the Division of Fisheries. But one thing that we've done is, you know, bass populations in the lake, you know, their Mother Nature controls the spawns, all, you know, the populations, high water, low water. And we've worked with them over the last years, you know, to try and get bass. We have brood rearing ponds around the lake. Mm-hmm. We concentrate on bass and crappie usually to, you know, help offset any natural losses from the fluctuating water levels. And, you know, it's just been a good effort on both sides. And, you know, we are seeing fish caught this year again. You know, the last couple of years it was down a little bit, but, you know, it's yesterday was a great day. So.
Yeah, like a lot of outdoor events that we hold, you know, the weather will always dictate to some mm-hmm. level
yep.
the performance of the competitors. And when it's, you know, when we fight some tough weather, it makes for tougher yep. conditions. But that's one of the things, the resiliency that we see in the fishermen out there on the water that just continues to impress me.
Yep. You know, it's tough, can be tough. You know, patience, they always say you have to be patient. And, you know, we have a good fishery here. There's a lot of fish. It's a big lake. There's a lot of water. And it takes a little bit of homework and practice. But, you know, somebody figures them out every year. And, you know, hopefully we can keep it going.
Yeah. I'm going to jump in here, Kurt. One of the things you asked about changes, in the first couple of years, the boat ramps here at the West Access were basically the boat ramps. I mean, there wasn't a break wall. It wasn't protected from the wind if the wind was in the south or the east or mm-hmm. the north. What this group, and I call them my Corps of Engineers, we are so blessed here. What has transpired is, if you look now, they have spent an enormous amount of money and protected that West Access boat area with break walls. It was a big deal. I mean, we thought we would never end up with the money to do that. But by golly, they got the money and they fulfilled their promise and they built that break wall. And that's a huge deal. And that's just one of the benefits that have come from the IHSA, from the tournament.
Mm-hmm. And that's been something I know our schools have noted in the last couple of years. The addition of that break wall right by the West Access has been really been a big plus.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely increases the safety, which, you know, is number one, and it's a great place to fish.
Yeah.
Now we've created a great fish habitat. So.
We've just released on day two, when we're recording this, we just released for day two, and there's about seven boats down in this little break wall area fishing right now. So it's become a popular spot for sure. Scott, as a athletic director, as a coach, as a volunteer here over this last decade, what are your experiences with maybe in your school and with your students in bass fishing and just students in general? What kind of a change and growth have you seen in the anglers over this decade?
One of the things that I enjoy seeing is the variety of kids. I think Al touched on it. A lot of these kids that are bass fishermen, they really don't do any other activities. It reminds me a little bit like when we first started bowling at our high school. The kids that bowled was the only thing they've done. And so we see that with our bass fishermen at our schools. And I know a lot of other schools that these kids like to fish. That's their recreation. That's what they do. That's their niche. That's how they identify with their schools. And I think it's really neat when each kid is able to come out and fish and represent their high school and their community, especially in the state. I mean, it's a big deal to make the state tournament. But even when you go back and you look at the sectionals, kids are there and they're wearing their school colors proudly. They're wearing their high school colors proudly, and they're out representing their school just like anybody else. And it doesn't have to be just boys. It's boys and girls at the high school level that do that. And the interest continues to grow. And I know clubs continue to grow at each high school. And I really think that if high schools really look at the benefits that bass fishing can offer kids, every high school should have a bass fishing team. I mean, I know, and Al touched on it. You know, originally there was liability questions and things like that. But we see a lot of fathers, a lot of grandpas that come out and fish with their kids. So it just really has been amazing. And the quality of fishermen has continued to increase. I mean, you look at the equipment when you walk by the boats and you look at the equipment that's in the boat, you know, now compared to what it was 10 years ago. It's amazing. I mean, everybody has got the nice, you know, bait caster reels and spinning rods. And we used to see some of the most basic things ever. And you know, they may have stopped at the local Walmart on their way in to pick up a fishing pole and fish here. But in addition to that, the equipment and the boats, that's the other thing that we've talked about many times.
That's amazing.
Oh, my gosh. You know, you used to see, and nothing against, you know, little fishing boats with a little outboard and John boats.
That's how we all started.
Yeah, everybody started like that. And a lot of the teams that qualified have had that. But, man, when you come down and you see some of the equipment that's out there and the trucks that are pulling it and the boats that go along, it is amazing. But that doesn't necessarily mean the ones that have the most expensive boat and the most expensive truck catch the most fish either.
Do the fish know what's on the other
end
of the line?
I don't think so.
Yeah. I don't believe they do.
Yeah, I remember a couple of years back, one of the teams that took home one of the trophies had a tiller model with a 15-horse motor on there, and I believe that boat's still here fishing. So, you know, you don't have to have the most expensive thing in the world to fish, but we have seen a lot of that equipment evolve here in the last several years, and it really is amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. Even in, you know, people may not realize, but even in an activity in a sport like fishing, that the impact that technology is even having, technology is changing everything, and it's no different than in fishing. So after a decade, guys, where do you think this program might be finding itself in another 10 years? We've seen a tremendous amount of growth over the first decade. Where do you think things are going, or where do you hope things go over this next decade?
What I see is that I see more and more schools getting involved. When they really come out and study the bass fishing teams, the clubs, the tournaments, and if anybody ever comes out and watches what happens there, any school administrator would say, we've got to get in on this. We're providing a great opportunity for kids. And so I think that more people learn about the bass fishing and how it works and the tournaments and how the IHSA is involved, they're going to say, we want to be a part of this. So I see nothing but continued growth, especially if a school really, really can appreciate what they do and in providing another opportunity for kids. That's why we're in the school business. We provide opportunities for kids. Al mentions it's a lifetime sport that you can do the rest of your life. So I hope and predict that we'll see continued growth.
Yeah,
and here's what's happened. And that's a great lead in there, Stu. Here's what's happened. Now we have this enormous bass fishing, I'll call it an industry, in the college ranks. Collegiate bass fishing. It's enormous. I mean, it is the biggest universities to the smallest. It is coast to coast. I mean, 400 or 500 colleges all have these teams. Our winner from a few years ago, Father McGivney, actually that young man is now on the McKendree University bass fishing team on a scholarship, going to school on a fishing scholarship. Who would have ever thought that possible?
He won the tournament going by himself, back, and he was the only guy in the boat.
Absolutely,
that was
did.
One of the highlights. I know we were going to say that. We had a boat that fished with one kid.
Yes.
He got first place in the tournament when everybody else has.
Who would have thought? Yeah. Who would have thought that back when this thing started, and we worried about these boats going out and getting back because of the size of the motors and the length of the boat. We were like, oh, man, this lake can get tough, you know. Please, Lord, bring them back in one piece. And now we look at, like you said, $100,000 rigs and experienced fishermen more than the other right now. But the opportunity, and it's because of the intelligence and the pure guts of the IHSA in Illinois to step forward and do this. First one in the nation, I might add. To step up and try this. Now, every state's participating.
Illinois has become the model.
Illinois is the model. And what's happened, these kids can go to college now. And that is a stepping stone to professional fishing that's turned into an $8 billion industry in itself. So, all good. I haven't seen one negative thing come from this program. Not one. I commend you.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, in 10 years, I hope we're still fishing in Carlisle. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I think it's worked well. I think that, you know, we got a good team. Obviously, we do a good job. And like Al was talking about, you know, you see a lot of these kids come through the high school tournament. We do have some college bass tournaments here as well. And, I mean, I've seen a lot of kids that's fished for a high school tournament coming back fishing for a college team, you know, because they recognize the face and they're pursuing, you know, pursuing their career and having a great time. And it all started here. So, I think it's, you know, only going to get better as time goes on. So,
yeah, I think as we continue to see growth, as I am telling people a lot of times, we have a really, what I view as a good problem on our hands. Not so much what we do down here at Carlisle Lake for the state finals, but with our sectionals, we're getting really big sectional tournaments, and we're running out of smaller bodies of water where we can, you know, hold a more meaningful event where there's not, you know, so many boats in such a small area, you know what I'm saying? So we have to figure out how we even get another level of qualifying tournaments in place. But it's a good problem to have, and it truly reflects the growth and popularity of the sport over this first decade. So thanks to all you guys for your help. I mean, I know our listeners can hear your passion for what we're doing with this program, and it's that kind of passion that has made it such a success. So on behalf of our entire association, want to thank all you guys, as well as everybody in Carlisle and anyone who's ever helped contribute to the event. We couldn't have done it without you. So thanks, guys.
It's an honor to be involved with you.
Yep,
really is a true honor.
Well, thanks for joining me today on this episode of Happenings at 2715. We look forward to connecting with you again on these airwaves real soon. And so on behalf of our entire production team, we thank you for listening today.